All right, well, good morning again. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew 11. We're going to be looking at verses 28 through 30. We'll start there at least this morning, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We are in the second to last week, believe it or not, of the series we've been going over this summer. We're in the series we've been calling Practicing. This is week 8. We've been looking at the spiritual disciplines over the course of the summer. Prayer, fasting, time in God's word, giving, serving, community. And we've been saying all along as we've looked at these that it's not a formula. The point is not simply to just check boxes and do this thing, but rather the point is to learn to abide in Christ. Learn to stay connected to him through the spiritual disciplines, to stay connected to Jesus and thereby grow and bear a lot of spiritual fruit. We started this whole series and we did multiple weeks kind of in John 15 where Jesus says what? That he is the vine and we are the? He is the? You can say it. He is the vine and we are the? There we go, right? And Jesus says that to give us this visual picture of, look, if we stay connected to him, we grow. The command is never, Jesus doesn't say bear fruit. He doesn't say grow. He says stay connected to me, walk with me, stay in relationship with me and you will grow. And we've said the spiritual disciplines are about that, about staying connected to Christ. This morning, we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of rest. And everyone said yes and amen, right? Rest. And I would imagine many of us go, oh man, right? And we know this is an area of difficulty in our life and in our culture. But we're going to look at this idea of resting in the Lord, ceasing from work and from worry, not just on a day, as we'll talk about this morning, but in our lives. Because Jesus says this in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 28, 29, and 30. And we've said this, looked at this verse a couple of times throughout the series. It's an incredible promise from Jesus. Where Jesus says, come to me, verse 28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. Some translations say all who are weak and weary. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus says, bind yourself to me, right? Yoke yourself, connect yourself to me and learn from me. Walk with me, be my disciple, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. What an incredible statement from the God of the universe in human form to say, I am gentle and lowly in heart. And he says, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, Jesus, in saying this, does not mean that following him is always going to be easy. In fact, as Jesus promises his disciples and you and me, that if you follow him, you will experience suffering, you will experience hardship, you will experience persecution. It doesn't mean that when you follow Jesus, it doesn't include hard work. I mean, think about the life of the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul gave his life to Christ, God tells him, I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for my name. Paul's life after that is very hard. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of perseverance. It's a lot of endurance. And yet at the same time, somehow simultaneously, it's also resting and finding a soul level rest in Christ. And so when you become a follower of Jesus, when you get baptized and you proclaim, I belong to him and he belongs to me, I am his and he is mine, and you're signing up, you're not only saying God has saved me, but you're also signing up for my life now belongs to him. My time, my treasure, my talents, and I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm not working for his grace, I'm not working for his love, but I am doing the good works that he calls me to do. We're called to a life of pursuing Christ, which includes work, hardship, and suffering. And yet, Jesus says, in the midst of all that, you can rest in him. And I'm going to come back to this again at the end, but this idea of Jesus saying, I have finished the work at the cross, which means you can rest from your work. You're accepted and you're loved and you're forgiven. And therefore, you know you don't have to prove yourself to anyone or gain or try to earn God's love. That gives you that knowledge. Resting in Christ means you can rest at a soul level. Jesus says, come to me and you're going to find rest for your souls. The big idea of the morning is this: Jesus invites us into a life of rest in him. Not just a day, but into a life of resting in him. Jesus invites us. Every word there is chosen pretty deliberately. He invites us. Jesus invites us. Jesus is the one who's doing the inviting. He invites us. He doesn't force us, but says, come to me. And he says, come and trust me. And as we follow him with our lives, we learn that we can rest in him because his yoke is easy, because his burden is light, because Jesus is not a harsh taskmaster who always is demanding more, but rather he's this loving God. And he says, I'm lowly and gentle in heart. And as you walk with me, yes, at times it's difficult, but also you're going to find rest for your souls because he's finished his work. And I just, even as I say this, I want to acknowledge two things, right? One very quickly, and one we're going to spend some time on. One, let's ask the question, when we see that statement, Jesus invites us into a life of rest in him. When we listen to Jesus' words, come to me all who are weak and weary and I will give you rest for your souls. How many of us say, I am experiencing that soul level rest in Christ? My hope is that some of us, if not many of us, say, yeah, it's not always 100%. It's not always and every day. It's not perfect, but many of us could say, yes, I understand what you mean when you say life is hard and it's suffering and it's difficult and following Jesus, there's work involved. But hopefully you can say, yes, I know what you mean to have that soul level rest in the Lord. I know I don't have to prove myself. I know that I don't have to try to earn God's love. I know that even while I'm working, I can be resting because of who Jesus is and what he's done. My hope is that many of us can say yes, and I'm aware that others of us, maybe many of us, would say, Cale, when I hear you say that Jesus invites me into a life of rest in him, my life feels nothing like that. There's no soul level rest. I feel constantly harried and hurried and worried, and my soul feels anxious and burdened and tired and not at peace. If that's where you are this morning, there's really good news for you. Jesus is inviting you into a life that looks and feels and is different than that. Jesus is inviting you to come to him. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I mean, the good news is Jesus is inviting you to step into relationship with him. Turn from sin, trust Jesus, and start finding rest in him. And if you're here and you are a Christian this morning, and yet you're saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel any sort of soul level rest, then this morning is a good morning for you to do some soul examination and say, Lord, what needs to change in my heart, in my life, in my trusting you? How do I give myself to you fully? Because I want to claim this promise and live it out. You said, come to me and I'll give you rest. So Lord, what needs to change in my life, in my heart? The good news of the gospel, right? Just so we're clear, I'm not saying you need to go into your life and say, what's my to-do list? The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has done everything necessary for you to rest in him. But you do have to trust him and obey. This morning might be a good morning to do some soul examination. Secondly, and this is where we're going to spend a little bit of time, I had to work through this just personally this week. When we talk about resting, specifically resting in the Lord as Christians, most of us go to a day, right? We think of what's often called the Sabbath, and we think about a day of resting in the Lord, and that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, but we're going to spend some time sort of working through this. So there's some disagreement amongst Christians, you may or may not be aware of this, but there's disagreement amongst Christians as to how the Old Testament Sabbath applies to New Testament Christians. You tracking with me? How the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath for the people of Israel applies to New Testament Christians, right? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Partly I'm also saying this because as we think about taking a day to rest, and we've said this all through the spiritual discipline series, we've said it with prayer, we said it with fasting, we said it with giving. There's a way in which you can practice these things where you're checking the box and you're missing the entire purpose. You can do all of those things and not really be pursuing the Lord. The same is true. You could be taking a day off each week. You're like, yep, I take a day off. And what you do on that day does nothing for you spiritually because you're not thinking about the Lord. You're not doing things that refresh your soul. You're not really resting in the Lord. You're just taking a day off. It's still a good thing, but it may not be the thing that's actually helping you pursue the Lord. And on the flip side, this has been the difficulty of this message and preparing it, is some of us just need to hear different things. Some of us, like, you're checking the box, but you need to understand the heart behind the box. Others of us, perhaps many of us, you just never stop. It's 24/7, 365. And today is going to be one of those moments of being challenged to say, hey, are you resting in the Lord? Well, let's talk about the Sabbath for a little bit. To do this, we got to go through a little biblical history lesson, which I know is everyone's favorite thing. So, biblical history lesson here. In the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis chapter 2, right? Genesis 1, God creates the world in 6 days. Genesis 2, it starts with God resting from his work. Not because he's tired. God doesn't get tired. The idea is he finishes his work and he steps back and he just says it's good. And it says on the seventh day that he rested from his work and he made the seventh day holy. And he sets this pattern and example really for all of humanity, 6 days and then 1 day of rest. That's kind of the big idea of that, is if God can rest from his work, you can rest from yours. If God can rest from his work, you can rest from yours. But as you move through the Old Testament, you don't really hear. It's not called the Sabbath there in Genesis 2, and you don't really hear much or anything to my knowledge about the Sabbath until God officially institutes it in Exodus with the people of Israel. As they're out in the wilderness, it's the fourth of 10 commandments where God says, hey, on the seventh day, I want you to keep a Sabbath day, and there's really strict rules around it. You don't do this, you do these things, you rest, you're not allowed to do any sort of normal work because it's a day set apart. And the idea here, as God gives it to them in Exodus 20, he points back to creation. He says, hey, just like I rested from my work, I want you to rest from yours. Celebrate what I've done. Celebrate my goodness. Enjoy the creation. Interestingly enough, in Deuteronomy 5, the second time we get the Ten Commandments listed out, God relates it not back to creation. He relates it back to redemption. He relates it back to his rescuing the people of God during their time in Egypt. He says, you guys were once slaves in Egypt and I rescued you and I gave you rest. And so I want you to rest from your work. I want you to remember that you were slaves and God rescued you. I want you to give your manservants and maidservants time off. I want you to give your animals time off. I mean, he says, everybody rests on this day, the whole society, the whole nation. The whole idea here is that the Sabbath was a gift. It was a gift to the people of God. God tells them this is a day for resting. It's a day for worship. It's a day for justice. I want you to treat your servants justly. I want you to treat the poor and the foreigner justly. I want you to give your animals a day off. I want you to worship and rest and enjoy this day. And when you put it in its context, you say the Sabbath was a gift, not a burden, but a gift, especially when you put it in the context of their culture. The gods of Egypt, the gods of Babylon, the gods of Canaan constantly demanded, you need to do more, you need to do more, you need to do more. Humans are just made to work for the gods. And here the God of Israel is saying, I'm not only telling you you can rest, I'm telling you, you must rest. He commands the people, I'm giving you a day where I just want you to rest and enjoy me and enjoy the creation and remember what I've done for you and just enjoy one another and be refreshed so you can get up the next day and start your work again. The Sabbath was a gift to the people of God. Now, what do you see? As you move through the Old Testament, you move into the New Testament, what do you see? As you read the Gospels, you see Jesus reclaiming the original meaning of the Sabbath. He constantly clashes with the Pharisees over the Sabbath, and here's what's happened. Over the centuries, probably started out in a good way, but the Jewish leaders and the religious leaders said, hey, we want to make sure we don't do any work on the Sabbath. We want to make sure that we're doing all the things that God said to do and not do. So they started adding rules. Here's how many steps you can take on the Sabbath. Here's something, right? You got to wear your Fitbit. When you get to this point, right, you got to stop right there. 10,000 steps, no more, right? Because that would be considered work. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. And they just start building all of these laws until laws and sub-laws and sub-laws and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this until finally the Sabbath had become not a gift, it had become a burden. It's like walking on eggshells. And no, sundown, you're not allowed to do that. You're not, to the point where when Jesus would heal people, they would look at him and say, well, that's work. Jesus is like, I just healed someone, right? Don't you help your animal when it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day? Why would I not help this person? And they, so the context here, Mark 2, I'm gonna read it real quick for you, 27 and 28, you don't have to go there. But Jesus is walking through the grain fields and his disciples are with him and they're plucking heads of grain and they're eating it because they're hungry. And the Jewish leaders come to him and say, you know, they're not allowed to do that, right? It's the Sabbath, that's work. Jesus looks at them and he tells them a story from the Old Testament where David and his men went and ate the holy bread, literally took the bread of the presence that was supposed to be for worshiping God. And they said, can we eat this? Because they were hungry and the priest was like, yes, you can eat. And he says, guys, and this is what he says to them. You've missed the point, verse 27. And he said to them, Jesus' words, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What's he saying there? Saying, guys, this has become a burden. This thing that was meant to be a gift. The Sabbath was created for man. It was rest is a good thing that God wants to give you, not a burden that's meant to make you actually more anxious. Jesus says, you guys have missed the whole point. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This was not meant to be shackles on you. This was meant to be a gift. Resting, taking a day off was meant to be a gift to you, not a burden. And then Jesus says this, and this is really important. Verse 28, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus, the Son of Man is a title referring to himself. And Jesus looks at them and says, oh, by the way, I am Lord of the Sabbath. This is one of those statements, along with a lot of other statements that Jesus makes, where he signals to them a change is coming. That God himself has stepped into the flesh, and everything that the Old Testament was pointing towards, all the laws and all the prophets and all the Old Testament system was pointing forward to the day that God was gonna come and he was gonna bring the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells people repeatedly, the kingdom of God is here. Jesus tells them, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I can do what I want on the Sabbath. It was made for man, and I'm the Son of Man. I'm God in the flesh. And so this statement, along with Jesus' statements about the temple and many, many other things he says about the new kingdom coming, leads me to say this, and I want to be real careful here in how I say this, okay? The Old Testament Sabbath is not binding on New Testament Christians in the same way that it once was, okay? In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was given to the people of Israel and it was, you have to follow these laws. You're not allowed to do this. You must do this, right? 24-hour period, you have to do these things. And it was meant for, I want to give you rest. Jesus, now in the New Testament, the Lord of the Sabbath has come in the flesh and he says, I am your rest. Jesus says, the whole point of the Sabbath was to learn to rest, and I am your rest. And so no, the Old Testament Sabbath is not binding on New Testament Christians in the same way it once was, in the sense that, hey, here are the laws, and you have to do this, and you can't do this. But I know what you're thinking. You're like, Cale, can I work all the time and never stop? No, probably not. That's not a free pass to just do whatever you want or go 24/7, 365. But what I want to work through is this. It is probably good and wise, still pattern of Genesis chapter 2, for you to take a day off each week. But just like Jesus said, this is not something that's meant, we can't go back to making this a burden and a legalistic, you got to start here and you got to stop here. That is not the point. That was never the point. And Jesus has come and said, look, I am your rest. So if you take a day off each week, which you probably should, it's good and right. You should rest in the Lord. Now, the reason I say specifically it's not binding on New Testament Christians in the same way, this has gotten kind of weird over the centuries. So pretty on in the early church shifted the attention from Saturday to Sunday. Why is it that Christians gather on Sunday? Right? You can say it, right? What happened on Sunday? Jesus rose from the grave, right? It's the Lord's day. So pretty on in the early on in the church, the Sabbath, which was Saturday for the Jewish people, becomes, you see it emphasized less and less. And Sunday, gathering on Sunday morning, the early church began gathering on Sunday morning in recognition of Jesus has risen from the grave. It's called the Lord's Day in the Bible. John talks about that in Revelation. He says, on the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit. That's Sunday morning, pretty early on. But what happened over time at certain periods is that Christians basically said, Sunday's the new Saturday. In fact, there are certain Christian societies that have legalized it in the same way as the Old Testament. No, you can't do this and you must do this. And if you don't show up to church, you're gonna get punished, right? And we'll show up to your house on Monday and be like, you missed the Sabbath day, right? And you weren't here. Where were you at yesterday at service? And you're not allowed to work. That's not where we wanna go. That's not the point. Sunday, it's wonderful that we get to gather on Sunday and worship Jesus. But the Apostle Paul says this in Colossians chapter 2. Let me read this to you. Chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. He's talking to the church at Colossae, and they're dealing with some of these issues. Do we have to follow the Old Testament law the same way that the Jewish people did, or do we have freedom in Christ? This is what he says. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So how did God save us? By our good works, by us following the law, by us doing everything? No, by nailing it to the cross, by taking your sin and my sin, and Jesus nailed it there and left it there. You are set free because of what Jesus Christ has done. And there is such freedom and rest in knowing that. And the Apostle Paul says he nailed it to the cross. Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And then he says this, because of what Jesus has done, verse 16 and 17. This is gonna be freeing for some of us. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. Can I eat this? Yes, you can. With regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, that's a lot of what the Jewish people pray. You have to observe this festival. You need to follow this. You need to observe this Sabbath. He says, guys, don't judge each other in these things. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The Apostle Paul is looking at Jewish and Gentile Christians, and the Jewish Christians going, you need to follow all these things. And the Gentiles are like, do we? And the Apostle Paul says, guys, the substance belongs. These are a shadow of the things to come. You want to follow the Sabbath? Great, do it. Many of the new Christians were Roman slaves. They had to work 7 days a week all the time. The empire didn't declare Sunday to be a day of rest until like AD 320. 300 years, right? Many of the Gentile Christians didn't have the option of having a day off. They had to work constantly. And the Apostle Paul says, just remember, the whole point of the Sabbath was to learn to rest, and your rest comes in and through Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. So yeah, if you can, so here's what we're getting at. You say, okay, what does that mean for me then? Do I just work all the time and I don't take a day off? No, it's wise, it's prudent, and it's good to follow the pattern that God laid down in Genesis chapter two, 6 days on and 1 day off. But here's why I think this is important. You say, Cale, why do we go this little biblical history lesson? Guys, there are some of us in here, when I said the Roman slaves have to work 7 days a week and there's just no option, there are some of us here, that's the situation you're in. I think about some of our folks who are working 2 jobs, 3 jobs just to make ends meet. A single parent, someone in the collegiate season, they're working just to get themselves through school. Like, you may not have the option, and you feel this sense of guilt of like, man, Sunday comes and I barely make it to church, and then I have to go to my second shift and I work really hard. You don't need more guilt heaped on you. You need help. And you need to hear, hey, there's freedom in Christ. And just let me give you an example of how this might work. Let's say you're in a life group, and in your life group, you've got a single mom. She's working 2-3 jobs, and she's trying to piece things together. Do you know what dead religion looks like? Dead religion looks like looking at that single mom and going, you shouldn't be working 7 days a week. Christ-like faith looks like this. Hey, I see that you're working really hard. Can we help you? Not, I saw you miss church this morning because you went to work. It comes along and says, hey, I see that you're trying to piece things together. Can our life group like watch your kids for the week, right? And watch them once a week? Can I watch your kids once a week so that you can just have a few hours to rest? Do you see the difference there? One says, no, the law, you're not doing what you should be. The other says, hey, your situation seems like it's really difficult, and man, I want you to be able to rest in Christ. Is there a way we could come alongside and help you? I'm so glad, guys, thinking about pastoring this church and our church, I've seen this a lot. I've seen us come alongside and help and say, hey, you don't need more guilt on you. You might need some help in this season. Can we help you live out what Jesus wants for you here in finding rest? So some of us, you're in that season right now. It's hard. You're doing the best you can to piece things together. Do the best you can to find ways to rest, to get some time off. Ask your life group, ask brothers and sisters in your life who love Jesus, can you help me? Because this is a heavy burden right now. And do the best you can to rest. Now, having said that, for most of us, my guess is the majority of us, we're in a place where we're going 7 days a week, and it's not because we have to, it's because we're choosing to. We've fallen into probably two things. One, the sinful pressure inside of us that says you need to go 24/7, 365. Get ahead, you can get more, you can make more money, you can get more accomplished, you can do more, you're gonna fall behind. There's this sinful thing inside of you and there's a sinful thing inside of me that says you can't stop, you can't afford to stop. And when I think about our culture, we live in a culture, it's not just the sinful pressure inside of us, it's the cultural pressure outside of us that says you cannot afford to take a day off. You can't afford to take it. You have to keep going. You're going to fall behind. And for most of us, when we think about resting in the Lord and we think about the pattern God laid down in chapter 2 of Genesis, for most of us, the right application from today would be, you need to take a day off. You need to pick a day. For most of us, that's going to be Sunday where, I mean, praise God, still in our culture today, there's still just less going on Sunday. For most of us, that's gonna be the day where you say, I just need to stop. I need to put away the normal work and I need to rest in the Lord. I know that's not all of us for Sunday. It's not me, it's not Sunday for me, right? Sunday's a work day for me. By 2 or 3 o'clock, I'm exhausted, I'm worthless, right? By 2 or 3 o'clock. So I get it. For some of us, you work on Sundays like I do and you need to find another day if you can. Our family rhythm, Sunday through Thursday is my work day. Friday is our, hey guys, we broke the house Sunday through Thursday. Let's put it back together, right, on Friday. So it's the mowing the yard if we can and getting all the work done. And then we try on Saturday to say, hey, let's put away the regular work and just do things that we enjoy, worship the Lord, do things that refresh our souls and get us ready for Sunday and the rest of the week. I say, right, working towards a rhythm of that, guys, that's been a process for me. In the early years of doing this, I used to work Friday morning, Sunday through Thursday, and then Friday morning, I would say, let's get a little more done. And then Saturday night, I would start going back to the sermon, right? And then I would come to Morgan and be like, I'm just so tired. And she'd be like, honey, you do realize you're working 7 days a week, right? Praise God for my wife. There's been multiple times, right, where she's looked at me and like, you're so smart. How do you not see this, honey, right? And she's like, Kale, you're working every single day. And so I was like, you're right. So I had to work really hard. And it's taken us, took us probably a couple of years to make the shift of going, hey, we've got to, like, Thursday, we're done. Friday, family work day. Saturday, let's try to spend time just as a family doing things that we enjoy. And listen, is that always perfect? Do we sometimes flip around the days? Yes. Is it always perfect? No. But that's the general rhythm. For some of us, that's something that you probably should work on. But when I say it's not binding on the, here's maybe the point. I put it in your notes this way. For the Christian, taking a Sabbath is not a you have to. It's a get to. Taking a Sabbath is a get to, not a have to for the believer. Like, God's given us the ability to rest. He's given us the permission to rest. He's given us the pattern of take a day off. And you'll find if you do, if at all possible that you can and you can do this, you're gonna find there's a ton of benefit to it. You spend a day just being reminded. You say, what are the benefits, Kale? Well, one, you're reminded you're not God. And when you pick up the next day and you've taken a whole day off, it's shocking. The sun still comes up and the world's still spinning and like everything's okay. There's this pressure sometimes. You're like, if I take a day off, the whole world's gonna set on fire. Everything will be ruined, right? And it's just not true. You find you're reminded you're not God. you find oftentimes that you're more productive in 6 days than you are in seven. I'm going to do what every good pastor and Christian does when they need a good 6 day, 1 day off example. Chick-fil-A, right? Chick-fil-A. For those of us who are a little bit pressured to say, no, I need to work 7 days, Kale, you don't understand. I'll fall behind. Maybe that's true. But I'll just point out, the average Chick-fil-A location takes in $9.3 million a year. That is more than any other fast food restaurant in the country, to my knowledge. The average McDonald's takes in $3.7 million at each location. 3.7. The average Chick-fil-A, 9.3. And they do it in 6 days. Right? Now, partly that's just because God loves Chick-fil-A and has blessed them, right? And I'm kidding, right? I'm entirely kidding. But I think there's something to that. When you have to shut down for a day, do you know what you do? You plan ahead. You say, hey, we need to like race to the finish line here and get stuff done because we're gonna shut things down for a bit and then we'll pick up the next day. You find oftentimes you are more productive. And this is what the Bible teaches. Rhythms of work and rhythms of rest. Rhythms of work and rest. And guys, in our culture, our culture doesn't teach that. Rhythms of work, it's go, 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 go all the time. 24/7, 365, never shut it down. You'll be more productive and efficient that way. As human beings, we weren't made for that. And so for some of us, again, it's not a have to, it's a get to, but something you should do is draw a line in the sand today and say, Lord, I need to rest. I need to take a day off. I need to do that regularly and spiritually discipline myself to do that and learn to rest in the Lord. Practically speaking, you say, Kale, how do I do that well? I would just say on that day, don't treat it like other days. Do things that you enjoy. Don't do things that drain you. Right? I know one family that they do no financial transactions on their Sabbath day each week. When they take a day off, they're like, no financial transactions, no money conversation, no money talk, no money transactions, because we just want to be able to rest on this day and set it aside from the other days and just turn our attention to the Lord. Listen, if you take a day off and you're like, I binge watch Netflix for 12 hours and then the next day I just wake up so spiritually refreshed. You're like, okay, I mean, if that works for you, my guess is that's not the way that's gonna work for most of us. You need to think well about what do you do and what don't you do on those days that helps refuel and refresh your soul. It helps you enjoy God and who he is and helps you wake up the next day going, Lord, I'm ready for the week. Take time to rest. It's not a have to, it's a get to. Let me close with this. We started in Matthew 11, Jesus telling us that he himself is the source of ultimate rest. So what I didn't want to do this morning was say, good morning, let's talk about Sabbath, take a day off, let's pray. Because it's too simple. It doesn't get to the heart of where does rest come from? Anyone come back from a vacation and said, I am more stressed and anxious than when I started this vacation. It's not just take a day off. It's guys, how do we rest not just on one day, but every day in the Lord? Here's how you do it. By believing, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 talks about this, that the Sabbath rest remains for the people of God. And how do we enter that Sabbath rest? By believing in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And when you trust him, here's how this works. It's so beautiful. Genesis chapter 2, God looks at all that he's made and he says, essentially, it is finished. God finishes his work of creation. At the cross, Jesus says what? It is finished. And he finishes his work of redemption. Genesis 2, God finishes his work of creation. At the cross, God finishes his work of redemption, of saving you and me. And you say, how does that give me rest? Because guys, the thing that exhausts us, the things that make us so tired are, it's the work beneath the work. It's constantly feeling like you have to prove yourself to the people around you, that you have to perform for God, that you have to figure out what's my identity, what makes me valuable. Maybe if I get to the top of my career, that'll make me valuable. But then you get there and you go, well, now I just have to work really hard to stay here. Maybe if everyone around me likes me enough, maybe if I'm popular enough, maybe if I perform well enough. It is exhausting when you're trying to save yourself. But when you know that Jesus Christ has done everything necessary for you to be forgiven, loved, and accepted, you get to rest. You get to rest. You get to wake up each and every day, not just one day a week, but each and every day going, God, it's enough. I'm enough because Jesus is enough. Because Jesus finished the work of saving and forgiving me. The way I put it in your notes this way, because Jesus finished his work, you can rest from yours. Because Jesus finished his work, you and I, we can rest from ours. Guys, just think with me for a moment. If you woke up each morning and you remembered cognizantly, today I am as loved right now as I ever will be. There's nothing I can do that will make God love me more or less. I am forgiven and I am accepted and I am redeemed. And Jesus said, all of that is finished because of what he did at the cross. Do you know how that would change the way you approach the day? I don't have to care so much about what this person thinks of me. If I fail at work, I mean, no one likes that, but that's not my identity. If someone doesn't like me, that doesn't have to crush me because my feet are planted on the solid rock that is Christ. If you want soul level rest, you build your life on him. That's where the soul level rest. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me, all who are weak and weary. And I will give you rest. If you're here today and you're a believer, yeah, I hope you take a day off if you can each week. But every day, we should be celebrating. Jesus, thank you. You finished your work. And because of that, I can rest from mine. And one day, you'll finish not only the work of redemption, but you'll finish the work of restoration. Jesus is coming back and he's gonna make all things new, and we look forward and long for that day. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the good news of the gospel for you is, look, come to him. The invitation is come to him. Stop trying to build your identity on what people think of you, on being loved by others, your career, your success, achievement, whatever it may be for you, start building your life on Christ. Come to him, all who are weak and weary, and he will give you rest. The invitation for you today, if you don't know him, is to trust him and enter into that soul level rest. Let's pray together. Father, I know for some of us, God, we are running so hard. And God, for some of us, that's the season we're in. And we need not guilt and shame heaped on to us for not taking a day off. We need help. We need brothers and sisters around us to say, hey, can I help you? Can I help you get some rest? God, will you just make us a kind of church that comes around our brothers and sisters that way, that comes around anyone that you put in our path to say, I see that you're tired. And I want you to know that God has better for you. Can I come alongside and help you? God, for others of us, we are running so hard, and if we're honest, it is entirely by our own making. We've given in to the cultural pressure that says we can never stop. We've put on ourselves the expectation that to take a day off would be lazy or inefficient or ineffective. God, forgive us. Oftentimes at the heart of that is pride, this thought that everything depends on us. God, for many of us, a right application out of today will be just to learn to take a day off and to discipline ourselves to do so. But God, in the midst of all that, I pray that we would not just take a day off, but that every day we would rest in you. Jesus, thank you that you finished the work. And we don't have to prove ourselves. And we don't have to earn something from you, God. We are loved and forgiven and accepted entirely because of what you've done, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to rest in that knowledge. Can I give you just a moment to pray? To speak to the Lord. I don't know where you are this morning and what the application point of today is going to be for you. But I want to give you now a moment just to speak with the Lord, to confess, to repent, to ask for help. And as we pray, if you're here today and you've never taken the step to first trust Christ, to come to him, you can do that now. You can pray to him now and say, Jesus, I want that kind of rest. And today I'm trusting you for it. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, help us to rest in you. And Jesus, thank you that you've done everything necessary for us to do so. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.